This is for you, this is for you and me, and who we see when we see each other. This is for all, this is for all the time you tried to find your sister or your brother. And you're not crazy anymore, you've been waiting at the door. It's time to open.
Good morning, you American State Nationals, you. This is our 31st year in radio, and our world is getting ready to reset, and I can't tell you how excited I am about it. You're going to love our guest today, Linda McKenzie. I'll tell you that she's a dynamo. There's so many aspects to her that we'll probably reveal some of them during the show. One of the things that she's good at is connecting in the psychic world. So while we're getting into the program, run around and call your friends and tell them to actually tune in here and check it out. You go to KTBL Talk Radio in Santa Fe, New Mexico. That's where we're recording live right now. So you are listening to Waking Up in America, Dynamic Dialogues in Radio today, brought to you by Key Media, happily200.hghbreakthrough.com. Once again, happily200.hghbreakthrough.com, brag.com, and that's brag with two G's, happily200.com, theconingcompany.com, Sir Jason Winter T, drvalerie.com, and doctor is all spelled out, the body can, and I think we should add a new site saying that the body does and the body will, because the body is really moving into action now. And
that's
we
right.
have Jason there. What was that over there, Shannon?
Because it's so true. We're just seeing such amazing, amazing turnarounds in just all kinds of things, whether it's weight or dementias or blood pressures, diabetics, all kinds of things going on behind the scenes. I am so in love with the path that I chose to go down. So I know this wasn't commercial time for me. So,
and, we want to know, you know, I'm a marriage, family, child counselor that retired. One of the things that I found is that the consultants have way more fun than therapists do. There's just all kinds of rules that the state puts on you to, quotes, protect you. Personally, I think it's so they can justify their licensing of you. But then, you know, what can I say? I look back fondly. I learned a lot during those years, and I'm totally grateful about it. And, Randy, you're the one that decided we needed to reach more people through Facebook, and you know how, what's the right word for it? I'm not going to call myself resistant. I want to just say disconnected from, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Except that's something that turns you on.
I actually, because for me, it's all about the heart connections. I actually wrote an article about it last night. You know, there's positively charged magnets and there's negatively charged magnets. And if you take a negatively charged magnet and you put it on a table and surround it with a bunch of tacks, those tacks are going to deflect it. They're going to go away. But if you have a positively charged magnet, you can't run away fast enough, and those are all going to come to you. And so, you know, social media, I see it as a way to connect the people, you know, heart connections. It's like the guest that we have on today was a heart connection for you. You guys hit it off so well that she's managed to now be on our show, and we're all excited to have her on. And you know, it's like Paul, he's attracted. So we're attracting through social media those people that we never could have gotten to. And we're actually broadcasting live in Albuquerque. You must have your heart in Santa Fe, because you said we were in Santa Fe today.
No, I do. This is too funny. That's funny. I am. I'm missing my daughter, okay? My daughter's in Santa Fe.
So you
can tell where my heart is this morning with Jennifer Alexandra Gard, who is just one of the treasures of my life. I love my kids. They're I married into Soren Kierkegaard's family, and what can I say? Soren Kierkegaard is an incredible lineage. I decided not to fully own it because he actually died some kind of horrible death at 42. And he had one of the most brilliant minds I've ever come across, even though he struggled with depression and things of that nature. So I decided I didn't want to step too much into the Kierkegaard mold and step back a little bit because there's a lot of heavy baggage that goes with that. I actually come from the Thompson Adamson's family, and we're like oak trees. So the oak tree is standing over here, standing what we stand for. Now, this is my birthday month, Mandy. So
I know it. So you celebrate every day.
Every day. So feel free to send flowers, to send money, donations over would be fabulous to the Happily 200 website for my birthday. And read it out because really, Joel Wallach, who's a friend of Randy's, he was actually interviewed by Barbara Walters. And he was talking about the average person being able to live easily to 150. So we're programmed to die, but that's another program that we'll do because Happily 200 actually breaks people out of a conceptual prison. That's one of the reasons Randy and I have both firewalked. Okay, everybody, oh, firewalking, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Tell them what it was like to go firewalking, Randy.
Well, I mean, it's definitely a mind over matter kind of experience because nobody wants to walk on blazing hot coals. And people on the outside try to say, oh, they're not really hot. Oh, yes, they are.
They're 2,200 degrees. That's what they are. And, by the way, a hypochondriac friend of mine was so perfect because when she firewalked, one foot didn't get scorched and the other one did. But what happens is they actually check your eyes, go firewalking, and those are 2,200 degree coals. I've watched them. I've done it. As a therapist, I sent people firewalking all the time. There's just all kinds of things. There's all kinds of rules and things that we believe that are just whole programming. And if you put yourself into a firewalk or you put yourself into a hang line or you do something of that nature, I always discovered that after I had, you know, jumped out of a plane, which I don't really want to do unless I could get a sure and soft landing because I got a weak left ankle now. But I loved terminal velocity. I was alive for days. I loved river rafting. Randy, do the stuff that we love, and we're so burdened down with works and opinions and all this kind of stuff. It's like, come on, let's have some fun. Maybe we should just Let's have some fun. What would fun look like? You know, I ask myself these questions. But we were talking before the show because what's happening in the background is that a book is also being written because I would never sit down and write it. I've been asked to record parts of it and pass it on. So that's what's happening. This morning we're going to do a brief conversation, no more than 10 minutes, okay? In fact, perhaps even a little less because I'm looking at the time at 7:14 right now, on how we got into radio and how I actually took the opportunity to be a radio talk show host.
And how did you actually decide to get started? What made you decide on radio, Val?
I fell in love. I fell in love. Radio was another world. And at our house, we had one of those tall radios, you know, the ones that sits on the floor. And then there would be things going on. And it wasn't like there wasn't anything terrible going on. I mean, nobody was doing anything to anybody in my later life. In my earlier life, plenty was going on. But as I said, that's another program. But at this point, I'm in the country and I just want friends. And I lean up against the radio and I listen to Sky King and Bobby Benson and the BBRB and the Shadow and all these cool things. And Sky King and a Straight Arrow. I mean, oh my, I had Straight Arrow patches. Radio created a lifetime, a magic and a depth of life that never would have been there without it. Plus, my first experiment was I heard you could make a radio out of a crystal and a copper wire. And I did. And it was like, oh my God. I was like 8 or 9 at the time. And I was reading Sherlock Holmes and doing all that kind of stuff. So I had books and radio. And then when we moved into Santa Monica, in the Santa Monica area, I then was close to the movie theaters. So I lived in those worlds. That's how I navigated, because I was really ignorant about a lot of stuff. And I got points of view, and Esther Williams was my favorite movie star. I could do a whole program just on Esther Williams' contribution to my life. People do not have any idea, Randy, of how powerful, strong, good images are. Doris Day, God bless.
Oh, I know.
Alive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. And her work with animals. And boy, her life wasn't easy. But there she is up in Carmel. And Clint Eastwood, you know, he's one of Patricia's clients. And what's he in his 90s? And people may make fun of him or think he drifts or whatever they say about him. That man has one of the most brilliant minds I've ever seen. And I'm so glad he's here. No?
I like him, actually.
I love him.
I don't know who doesn't like him. But, you know, and that's the thing, Val, is, you know, you have this positive of heart and you attract all of these blessings all over literally the world because people feel your heart and they feel your genuineness. And, you know, one thing that you do and that I do is we never regret leading with our heart. You know, things may not go the way we wanted them to, but it doesn't matter. We always lead with our heart. And, you know, that kind of love, that kind of strength and power within provides everything you ever could need.
It's totally true. I was just thinking of the benefits of radio. In a world in which I've had lots of money sometimes and not so much money other times, radio has been my constant. I found out that I actually made myself a press pass thanks to Maureen O'Crean, Creenie O'Beany, as we called her lovingly. I haven't talked to her in years. Anyway, she made up press passes for us. We created the radio show. As I said, it was very lucrative for a number of years, and I had the press pass, and I have a media clip. And then I just see how far I can go. And I've been at Ronald Reagan's funeral in the back room. I've been in Washington, D.C. at the Hyatt in their top tower. All of this because I needed a place to do a radio show from. I broadcast from Washington, D.C. during Obama's inauguration. I was right there. And it's just, radio gave me a life past your wildest dreams. And plus, I could do it with my hair messy sometimes.
Isn't that so wonderful? I mean, and, you know, you have been to some really amazing places, and being in radio has opened so many doors. You've got to experience things that, you know, just anybody who doesn't have the ability to be in radio, it's just a blessing. It's a gift.
It's just got
so many perks to it. It's amazing.
Here's the truth. I think E. Cummings said something like this, but it's the truth of the truth of the truth. I can't remember the E. Cummings quote. The fact is, we've all got options like this. Whatever it is, it gave me the courage to start doing the things that scared me the most with some kind of understanding that there was some bigger part of me somewhere that was my friend. And I was very... As a little girl, I was very attached to Jesus Christ. It had to be Jesus. I had read the Bible. And you know what? It doesn't matter whether it's Jesus or whether it's whoever it is to you. When you hold something in great esteem and you respect the rules and the dignities of what it is that you hold and you esteem, the world works.
It does. It just flows.
You were just thinking of Sherry Sharifi Brown. Did she just cross your mind? Do you remember her?
I love her, yeah.
Yeah.
I actually just tagged her in something today. I'm always including her. I don't know if she sees it, but I include her in really positive posts. Yes.
Well, I made a mistake and had lunch with her in Beverly Hills a couple of weeks ago, but unfortunately I picked a noisy restaurant. So we'll have to do a soft table thing somewhere. What a wonderful, wonderful human being. She wrote the Seven Commandments. So what she's done is she's looked at all the spiritual systems, and in them she has recognized that there were things that were combined and put together. So she did it. She put it into Seven Commandments, and I highly recommend her book, Seven Commandments. She's a treasure. And I'm trying to get her back on the show again. She's got her hands full with... her husband, Ed, he's going through a lot of physical stuff right now, bless his heart. So the point being is that we're all going through processes. This radio show is an opportunity for me to communicate. When I was a little girl, everybody wanted to know why I wanted to talk to so many people. I didn't want to just talk to the people. I actually wanted the people to talk back. And you can talk back by sending emails. You can talk back to going to our Twitter page and our Facebook page and all that kind of stuff. I'm there under Val Kirkgaard 1, I think, something like that, and a Twitter account. Randy's got it. We don't have elaborate systems here at this time, and we are part of a program of refinancing that is probably going to end up having us have locations at various and sundry parts of the world. So an explosion is happening for all of us. With my 31 years in radio, Randy's been doing stuff for a really long time, too. Hey, we're pillars. We've proven that we can stand. Randy Shannon, you transformed. When I met you, where were you living when you first got on the show? Were you living in that mansion that was driving you crazy?
Nope, not quite yet. It was the place before that. I was in Miami, though.
Okay, so I'm not going to list them all on the air, but the different things and stages that we have gone through in the last 7 years, including the sheriff at my door, and all the different little dramas we've had, why we've had them, and all this fun is make us more lovable, more reachable. We're speaking, I guess, for people that don't speak. What amazes me, and by the way, as a little girl, I wrote my stars. I wrote John Fontaine, and I got an answer from her. I wrote Esther Williams, and I got an answer from her. There used to be a day that we used to write letters and let something matter. So if this program is about anything today, I would have to say, Randy, is that people let something matter and have fun, and the world is shifting, and by letting ourselves dream again, it's very special. I was watching South Pacific last night. Did you ever see that?
I feel like I did years ago. When I was in college, I actually took some classes, and I feel like that was actually one of the required classes for the, or it was an option for our humanities class, so I do feel like I saw that.
What a great musical! What an absolutely great musical! You got to be taught by the time you're, before it's too late, before you were 6 or 7 or 8, you've got to be carefully taught. And that's what a song on hatred, right? I'm mushy on Larry Hagman, and Mary Martin is who starred in the original Broadway production of South Pacific. And I have it. I have that production. So I was listening to the relevance of the songs and the beauty of the entire situation that was going on. And there's one talk scene in there where they're doing, John Kerr and the woman he loves are doing a song called Happy Talk. And what's really interesting, Randy, is that the woman that's playing the woman that he loves is holding her hands like under her chin and next to her face, and she's going, to have a dream, you got to have a dream come true. Happy, happy, happy talk. To have a dream, you have to have a dream to come true. And I thought, you know, is anybody even dreaming anymore?
A lot of people aren't, sadly.
So, do you have any advice for dreamers? And maybe this would be a really good time to have Paul come in, and he's been away. Paul, what do you think about it? Linda, if you want to comment. We have a wonderful interview dialogue in the background, and her name is Linda McKenzie, and she's a radio host in her own right. She's one of the most dynamic human beings you will ever lay ears on, and the particular part we'll be working together on today is our psychic abilities. So Linda and I and Randy and Paul will have things to say about that. So, Paul, you were gone the last week and on mission, and what can you fill us in on that in the next 5 minutes?
Oh, well, you know, who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Oh, God.
You brought up, you know, the shadow and I never grew up with the historical background and the folk background of all of those wonderful radio shows. So in my late teens, when I was learning English, I succeeded in getting copies of a lot of the old radio shows. The Shadow, Roy Rogers, the Lone Ranger, Boston Blackie, a whole bunch of them. So I remember spending a whole weekend with milkshakes, because I'd never had milkshakes in my life until I came to the U.S. I was 20 when I think it was 20 when I had my first milkshake. So I sat and listened to all of these old radio shows just to play catch up. But you mentioned Happy Thoughts. Is that not a tune out of The King and I?
No, not this one. Happy Talk is definitely South Pacific. I know which one you're thinking of. You're thinking of the movie with Yul Brynner and Deborah Carr. And I,
yeah.
I know which one. I know this. I just can't remember it in this moment. I'll probably get it in the middle of the night. But
well, you know, you mentioned Dreams. The success of all autocratic dictatorial governments is based on destruction of hope. Once a nation's hope is destroyed, you lapse into despair, because you no longer can even consider actualizing your dreams, because the regime, the dictator, the autocrat in place has destroyed your dream state. And that's one of the things that happened in the Obama administration. For 8 years, we didn't have the opportunity to dream, because the administration was so corrupt and so unhelpful in preventing us from promoting our dreams. I think now we're in a somewhat better place, so that we can at least start dreaming again, you know?
Oh, totally. So, can I interrupt on that? Because I really think that that's not exactly true. I think what has happened is that we have a, most people were apathetic in the political system in for many long times, way before Obama. It's not a Republican, Democrat kind of thing. And dreams aren't made by the government, and it's not touched by the government at this point, because for the last, since the 1960s with the hippie revolution, nobody's been buying into any of the kind of government things. They've been into personal stuff. And I do believe that there is so much spirituality out there that there's, you know, that the actual essence of people have not been dashed all these years. You know, if you take a look at history and life, you will find that the same things happen over and over and over again until you want to regurgitate it, right? But every person in their hearts has a piece of truth, and that truth resonates no matter what. And our will, especially Americans, our will to survive and overcome is part of our DNA at this point. And that means any immigrant coming in, anybody that wants the American dream has come in, and we're way beyond politics, and I don't believe that politics will get us down one way or another.
I also wanted to find out what you were doing last week when you weren't on the show, buddy.
Well, you know, I don't totally disagree. You made one comment which is absolutely critical, which is totally ignored by the political milieus all over the world, and that is that built into our consciousness and our biology is a twist in our DNA, and I call it the freedom twist, the freedom helix. It's in the DNA of every human being. And it transforms into dreams. It transforms into revolutions when we are tyrannized. The trouble is, when you have a government that creates a milieu that doesn't foster hope, individual hope, then you have a problem. Let me finish. I don't disagree with you.
Right.
In each one of us, burns a flame of freedom, a flame of hope, and we have our individual spiritualities. And we can never, never, never allow a government to snuff that out. The trouble is that the general public has lost its sense of awareness, or at least has been a tremendous, tremendous loss of awareness.
I don't see that. I've traveled all over the country, and I've seen more people being spiritual than ever before.
See, that's the other thing. Actually, suicide...
If we had a sense of awareness, we wouldn't have people, millions of people following, you know, this lady who is professing violence. So... I don't agree. Because
I get it.
All right, go ahead.
Thank you, because I was going to mute you. This is not a dialogue right now. This is escalating, and this is not what this is about here. What's about here is that some very magical things are happening here on the planet Earth, and you two see something differently. It's just the fact that you two see something differently. It's not to be debated here or changed here necessarily. That's not how it works. What we've got are powerful forces happening in the world, which have just been demonstrated. And both of these powerful forces that are here, they're forces for the transformation in the direction of exactly where it is that we want to be going, which is that people here on planet Earth have the access to freedom and beauty and creating what needs to be created. That if you know anything about Agartha or inner Earth, you'll know that the future is bright, and that's what Linda is here for. Besides her incredible list of things that she does in the world, oh, my God, starting... and engineering this and engineering that and taking responsibility for this and creating international radio stations and just an extraordinary resume. It would take me the rest of the show to read to you everything that Linda has been up to. Randy found her. I read her. I was blown away. She's a committed Facebook person. She's a person that loves to actually have... She's going to have the world be exactly what she says it's going to be, and her world is going to be a happy world, and you're going to enjoy that world. And Paul's world is going to be a happy world, too, and you're going to enjoy that world. And you're going to enjoy each of your own worlds. And right now, before we go into the rest of this interview, we're going to do a short tape from President Trump giving you, and these are facts, by the way, folks. You can go and you can check out these facts. They're real. You don't generally hear from them in the mainstream media. They don't report much of this stuff. So, Mike, if you put that on, please.
My administration is committed to giving every American the opportunity to find a great job and have a rewarding career. There's nothing like it. Whether you're a high school student or a late career worker, there has never been a better time to learn a trade, hone a skill, and pursue your dreams. Last quarter, the United States economy grew by 4.1%. We've created 3.7 million new jobs since the election. Unemployment recently fell to its lowest rate in almost 50 years. Unemployment for Americans with disabilities has reached the lowest level ever recorded. In the month of June alone, 600,000 workers entered or re-entered the workforce. Pretty good numbers. To continue this incredible momentum, we launched the Pledge to America's Workers. More than 100 companies, associations, and others have pledged to train or retrain over 4 million American students. We're encouraging companies across the country to join our historic initiative and pledge to invest in training Americans for the jobs of today and the careers of tomorrow. In the last 2 weeks, I established a National Council for the American Worker, which will develop a national workforce strategy and sign the modernized and long-awaited Perkins Career and Technical Education Act, which will deliver jobs and training to more than 11 million students and workers. We're very proud of that. When we invest in our workers, we are investing in our people, we are investing in our communities, and we are investing in the American dream. And every single day, we are making new American dreams come true. Thank you, and God bless America.
Love that man.
Wow. Well, listen, I'm still applauding. I'm still applauding because we've never had a climate like this. What I want to clarify with absolute certainty is that we are in a renaissance. At least the last 18 months have shown that, and this wonderful exhortative speech supports that, because every word in that speech was absolutely correct. It's based on fact, and it's based on current information, especially the 4.1% increase in the GDP, which is stunning, absolutely stunning. So it's tremendously encouraging to be living in a period of renaissance. But
Paul, you know, we have a situation that's like people are so hard on Trump, but the choice really that we were offered was, well, I don't know whether she's a psychopath or not, but she's seriously got some problems. Person who is responsible for just a lot of evil in the world, as far as I can see. We had a choice between that. She managed to get the nomination and take it away from Bernie, who I was originally actually going to vote for. I'm not sure what he would have turned out like, but that would have been my choice at the time. I believe I probably would have voted for Bernie and not Donald. But the point is, when I was given another choice, it's amazing. And I know darn well that most of the stuff that's being cranked up about him is simply because he wasn't supposed to win the election, and that a bunch of people that have had a lot of power are losing it and slipping through their hands. Donald Trump is actually taking down the Fed, which was developed in 1913. You may want to check that out, The Secret from Jekyll Island. It's a whole amazing history of the country. There's all kinds of great stuff out that really talks about what's going on in the background. What's really special about our guest today, good Lord, Lynn, is there anything you haven't done?
Yeah, but I don't know what it is.
Go ahead and do it, right?
That's right. For me, life has been like Girl Scout badges, you know, and I have grown through every strata of society. I've been psychic since I'm 8 years old. I actually saw God, and the next day, I was told, don't walk down this block, and there was a murder there, you know, and, you know, just all sorts of wonderful things. So I studied, I read all of the books on metaphysics in the New York Public Library. By the time I was 15, and I was actually busting psychics. I grew up in New York by the time that I was 18. All during this time, I had many opportunities. I won awards from the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York for my artwork. I got offered a singing contract because I could sing bass in high school, when I was 18. And then when I was about 21, God said, hey, you know, stop all this. Don't watch TV. Don't watch movies. Don't watch anything about any kind of metaphysics. I said, okay. So that's what I did. And I became an engineer, and I was the first datacom engineer in any airline in the world. And I designed a lot of things with Continental Airlines and Western Airlines, and I redesigned the U.S. Senate Computer Center and did a whole bunch of things. And when you go to the ticket counter and you're, you know, at the airline and you want to go and purchase a ticket by computer, that's mine. I put in so many things, just wonderful things. And I did the very first, and then I went into became a consultant. And back in the, when Biafra was really having a hard time with the malnutrition and the feeding of kids, I put in the first video teleconferencing network any time in the world, where healers from all around the world sent energy to Biafra. And so I've been involved in that. And then about 37, and then I did a lot of stuff. And then around 37, God said, okay, come on out. And I said, what? And I had, in the meantime, still studied on my own. And so I did come out, and I was asked to work with the government several times. Since I had very high security clearances for both the airlines and whatever. And then my ex-husband, you know, he was with CIA for a lot of years. And you know, I went from no clothes to every strata of society, even the, I turned down the jet set because I was a little too old. I was 32 by that time. So I just said, no, I'm not going to do that.
That's but really old, you know.
Yeah, I did the Orient Express. Well, it was back then. You know, you wanted the 19-year-olds back in that jet set day, right? But anyway, so I've known, so during my course of doing work with Psychic Realm, you know, I've been involved in a lot of different things and many presidents of countries, including one of the presidents in the United States, has asked me to be their psychic, and I'm not telling you which one, and there's been many that have come through my door. And,
yeah, we were talking about Avery Torres actually this morning, who was our psychic on Waking Up in America for a really long time. And those of you who listened to us in the first years would actually know that Man in the Mirror was our theme song for the first few years. And then Michael got in all that trouble, and they didn't want it played on the radio station. But through Avery, who was working with Michael at the time, I actually got his blessing on Man in the Mirror. And Bent Miguen has written music for this program, and I think it's absolutely perfect. We're almost ordinary people with extraordinary dreams. But it's also now a time of manifesting those dreams. And
right.
This particular person over here to my left, I have you sitting to my left for some reason, Linda, she makes dreams come true. She does that. It's part of how she does life. Randy,
well,
over here on my right,
yes.
Randy, you make a lot of dreams come true as well.
I do my best. You know, it's all in the health field now. You know, just because every day I'm bombarded with, I have this, I have that. And so, you know, I work with Youngevity, and we just work completely with Dr. Wallach's protocols. And, you know, this guy is proven. There's no one that can dispute his track record. He's now sued the federal government 9 times in one. And, in fact, one of my people was on with the FDA yesterday. Somebody really close to me was on with the one of the commissioners of the FDA, and you know, they said they love Youngevity and they love what we're doing and they love how we are doing it. And you know, I don't even charge anybody. I take a lot of people on, but I don't charge anybody for my services. I just direct them to Dr. Wallach's protocols, and they're seeing amazing results. We help strengthen and empower the people's bodies. We're not curing anything.
And one of the things that this program has given us, Linda, and to our listening audience, and to you in particular out there, has given us access to some of the finest products on the planet. I'm on Thrive HTH, and I have been for a year and a half. I'm feeding it to my dog. That would not have happened without radio.
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, I was president of a vitamin company, dietary supplement company,
exactly.
That was the first one to do mind-body medicine. So, for example, my partner was VP for GNC for 15 years, and she was a great formulator. And then I did a lot on the radio, and also I have a PhD in hypnotherapy. So what? So we designed visualization tapes and the best vitamin formulas for like arthritis and stress and stuff. And we did even a road rage spray, so that people could spray it in their mouth, and after 6 weeks with a little St. John's wort, and they could have road rage and road vision. So we did a lot of very first, and then the big pharmaceutical companies came in, bought up the things, and then we had to kind of go because there was no way that we had the money to fight those.
Stop. What?
Huh?
Could we get a hold of some of this road rage spray and start spraying it around?
I don't think that anybody's ever done it again. We were written up in all the journals and stuff on that, you know. I've done a lot of firsts in my life, and you know, people get, you know, on my radio network, everybody was having such negative news, and so I started the first positive talk radio network, one of the first. Wisdom was one, and I was on Wisdom. And so I started that 16 years ago, and the reason I did that, it was really fun. We started the first all-positive news program, which it was very difficult to do because there's no news that are positive. So we do, we don't do any politics on our thing because we don't do anything with, we have controversy with answers. Otherwise, it doesn't come on the shows. And so what we did was we started this news show, and I and all of a sudden, Channel 7, 13 and Channel 11 here in California started, people were calling me saying, Linda, you're only on a week, and Channel 13 says they're not going to do any murders at night, and Channel 11 says they're going to put a happy thing in their things, and I'm going, okay, and they said, aren't you annoyed? And I said, no, because for the good of the planet, what do I care?
Yes.
I'm not in this for ego. If
right.
they're taking that stuff, fine. The latest thing that I did, so now I make this a joke, okay, now I say, okay, if I have an idea, all I have to do is tell somebody, and somebody will take it and run with it, and it'll get done. So what do I care, right? So now my thing is I hate alternative medicine as a thing because it's original medicine.
Original,
so,
yes.
Right. So about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I said original medicine has been around for thousands of years. I mean, Ayurvedic mm-hmm. has been 5,000 years old, and even more than Chinese medicine, which is really kind of interesting. And
since the dawn of time. Think about
right,
it.
Right.
Pharma wasn't around.
Right. That's
did you
right.
ever do Sunrider? I got to ask you. Did you ever do Sunrider?
Sunrider what?
Sunrider. Oh, you would have known vitamins. They were like $300 a month, and I swear to God, I felt like King Kong.
Well, yeah, it depends. You know, it depends on there's the good vitamin companies are far and few between these days, so you have to be very, very careful. Now, Joel Wallach is wonderful. I absolutely love him, and he's one of the good pioneers of the day.
Yes.
And I absolutely
mm-hmm.
love him. So,
please, let me finish my sentence. Okay? So, the Chinese emperors kill their physicians on the day that the emperor dies. This is a very high level of Chinese medicine. That was the comment that's part of the dialogue.
Ah.
Okay?
Interesting.
And there are a chain of these things that have been suppressed by the government. And have any of your products been suppressed, or are you aware of that? For one thing, they came into our Chinatown, and they removed a lot of the most potent of the Chinese medicines here. For instance, I could go to Chinatown, and I could buy a little ball, a little packet of balls for $20, that I had no pain in my body if I took one of them. And there was no illegal drug in them. So it's like, we have to sort our way through all these different things, and you've successfully sorted your way through an amazing number of things. And part of what I wanted to invite, excuse me, part of what I wanted to invite you to do was actually if you could coach our listeners for a few minutes on how to awaken their psychic abilities, because I consider you a master in the field.
Well, the very first thing is there's a couple of things. You know, everybody is different. Uh-huh. So when you sit there and you say, oh, I can go to this psychic school or I can do this, well, that's not really true. For many, many years, people have asked me to do a master class in a lot of things because I've been a healer. And I did put out a DVD that explains that of the 16 different separately different psychic abilities. And there's, you know, the best way to be psychic is to, at first, is ask yourself why you want to be psychic. Is it to further yourself? If it's for the ego, it's not, you know, like attracts like. So if it's for the ego, you're not really going to get what you need. When you're a psychic, you have to eat right. For example, I have to do no sugar, no dairy, no. I'm on the no diet because I have to keep my energy and my immune system high so that negativity doesn't come in and my antenna is out. And then you have to be totally committed to truth, okay, not to what you think or what you do, and you have to know the difference on that. So it's a very, very, very long journey. So the best thing, and it's individual. So if you can go to somebody and you go to a lecture and or you see a book you like, you know, you can pick up that book and you have to understand that you have to have a deep abiding faith, okay? I believe in God. Whatever you call God is fine, you know, but you have to have a deep abiding faith. And everybody says, oh, it's the universe. Well, God is on, there's 11 energy zones of a psychic. And so you have to navigate these 11 energy zones. Uh-huh. And the last energy zone is God energy. And I don't go into the universe. When you go to the universe, most of the psychics are electrical energy. and most people are electrical energy. And they go to the universe. And, you know, if you want to talk to Albert Einstein and get some information, I can do that. If you want to talk to your mom or your dad, I can do that. If you want to talk to anybody or anything, you want to see a thought form that happen, every thought that you have goes out into that universe, I can do that. But I have electromagnetic energy, and there's only a handful of us in the United States. I was part of the International Society for Paranormal Research for many years, and we did debunking of paranormal media, you know, ghosts in for the British government. And, you know, I've done black holes in Japan. I've done, you have no idea. So it's very vast. So when you want to be psychic, you have to make sure that you're there. If you want to be high psychic, you know, it's not for you or to read. Just because if somebody comes to me and they say to me that they want a reading, and they keep coming, they'll say, when do you want me back? I'll say about a year. I can do a reading in 10 minutes. When I was on air, I did 36 to 42 readings in 40 minutes to people. And I said, don't come back to me. You know, I'm giving you enough information. If you need to do a process, on a mental process, to change the way you're thinking or doing, you need to go to a psychologist. Okay, because I'm not a psychologist. I can tell you black and white, this is what I'm seeing. And I don't, and I'm 95% right. And because everybody has their own ability to change things, okay? And so you're right for that moment in time. And by the way, time is a man-made thing. Universe doesn't have time. We make it up, okay? It doesn't even exist, okay? So
Thank you.
So when you want to start out with psychic ability, you have to really start meditating and start to, if you see a book or you're at a lecture and something attracts you, go there and listen, but you don't have to believe everything they say. Take just that sentence in the book that's right for you. If the rest isn't right, close it and walk out the door. You are your own best teacher on this. You know, you and God are the only ones that should ever be in your body or sway you, and you use your truth meter, your gut feel. If you come from your gut, your very first reaction, you're going to be right 98% of the time. But when you have to stop and think, or if you have a conflict in your head, maybe this is right, maybe this is wrong, well, then it's probably wrong for that moment, okay? And another thing that you have to understand when you're doing psychic ability is you have to know yourself. When you know yourself, you can understand when it's your own opinion and when it is really psychic energy. And you have to really delineate that and understand where it's coming from. When I first started, it came, the small of my back would get numb. So you find find that spot in your body that is your stomach might get queasy, your hands might shiver, you know, you might get cold up your spine. But there, everybody has a physical manifestation of psychic ability. And when you do that, you know then that you're in spirit, that you are attached and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. If you don't get that feeling, then maybe you got to take a look and say, which one's yours, which one's mine? So I said to God, you know, God, I'm a very opinionated woman here. I've been on my own, raised family on my own, did everything on my own, you know, did a lot of things, had 7 or 8 corporations. I said, you know, God, I'm very willful, and God and I talk all the time. I'll say, hey, God, I need a raise. You know, if you know, I'm doing all this stuff. Give me more money. And or I'll say, hey, when I get up there, you and I are going to have a sit down, you know, because we got to talk about some of this stuff. But, you know, your dialogue with God, God is not, and he's an all, it's not even a he or she. It's an energy that is made of love and light. It's that's the frequency, and not the love of your dog or the love of your husband. It's a higher frequency. So when you are doing psychic ability, the most important thing is that you must do it for the greater good of all and not just for yourself. You must do it with truth, integrity, for the greater good of all. And that may mean that, you know, there's some readings that I used to give that I could see very clearly that I was going to be in a bad situation because of that. But I would still give them the truth, no matter what. Because
I know other people of integrity to do that, and I highly respect it. We were talking before the show about remote. And Major Ed Dames said that the difference between psychics and remote viewers was that psychics could would receive the information and remote viewers would pursue it. So With that, I just want to thank you for being here today, Linda. If one person out there, if you out there hear her message, and you start to trust yourself and what you're feeling and going for that line that grabs you, your life is going to change. And you can share it with others. Paul, is there any last sentence that you want to have for here? Does anybody know about hydroponics here? Are you on mute, Paul? Are the hydroponics
I'm here,
any
I'm
good?
Here.
What's your last sentence?
I think they're
770 KKOB's talk.
Now. What's your last?
My last comment is that, humorously enough, on July 30th, National Whistleblower Appreciation Day was declared by the Office of the Inspector General.
I know you want to whistle it. A tune as we go out there. Randy, last sentence.
Love provides everything, you guys, and this show, and you know, just the hearts with the positive charges, they're all being attracted. You know, Val, I knew she was right up your alley and had the things to say that are just, it's just where you think. So never regret leading from your heart. And super glad we had guests today. Great show. Glad to be a part.
There you go. 2 minutes. Okay. Final report here. One of the things that we just came in during the course of the show is the fact that President Trump has just donated all of his salary to restore the veteran cemeteries. So that's happening now, and there's other reports that are coming out on the amounts of money that have been saved and things of that nature. I'm very moved by the fact that the cemeteries are being restored, because it seems to me like God and honor are being restored. So I just want to thank you for that. What can I tell you? Thank you so much for listening. This program has been brought to you by Kirkard Intergalactic Media, our radio partners, CloningCompany.com, Happily200.com, HeavenIncorporated.com, Anabon Rights, Dr. James Murphy, John Denver, Dr. Joel Wallach, Sheriff Richard Mack, Tippi Hedren, Cash, Carol Channing, Deepak Chopra, Wolfgang Holbig, William P. Dunn, Ed Asner, Dennis Weaver, Larry Hagman, Esther Williams, Admiral Eugene Carroll, Jane Goodall and Jonathan Granoff, Dennis Kucinich, Chris Burgard, Paul, The Washington Insider, Terry Cole Whitaker, Sherry St. Vincent, Lonnie Hogan Miller, Sherry Sharifi Brown, Roger Stone, David R., Descendant of King David, TheBodyCan.com, Edward F. Group III, Shalene Nightingale, and the DrValerie.com, and Dr. is all spelled out. Thanks to Paul C. Bragg for leaving us your daughter, Patricia, to continue your work. A big thanks to our team at Voice America, Jess Spinard, our producer, Brian Treasure, Randy Jackman, and our friends at Cumulus Radio, Mike Vitale, Mary Flynn, and Ron Simon, and our research director, Rock and Ron Hayes. To John Young at Totally Gospel, a big thanks for all the airtime and friendship you've given us over the years, and a big thanks to our webmaster, Joe Chung. Merci beaucoup, merci, merci, merci to Ben Migan for our theme music, Almost Ordinary People, which is available to you as a free MP3. Really, have fun. Do something kind today, maybe even two or three things. You know, have fun. It's a beautiful day here, and make your day beautiful. Thank you so much for listening.
And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all in you, pouring through. Now your heart is open.